अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपक कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर शिवासदिगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो अ वार्म वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू माय डियर ब्रदर्स इन मेडिकल प्रोफेशन एंड फ्रेटर्निटी। आई डोंट नो आई शुड कॉल यू एज माय ब्रदर्स और माय चिल्ड्रन, बट वी आर इन द मेडिकल फ्रेटर्निटी and it's very very fortunate to be in medical profession. This is what my very honest honest opinion. I am now running 58 years of age, so I am about to retire from my active life in medicine, but with this long 35 years of being a doctor and being into medical profession and being also very active into medical administration and being a director of spiritual care in medicine, in medical practice, it's been a long and a very wonderful journey of variety of activities. As I said initially, it was medical camps in the villages for many, many years. Then that turned out to be a nursing home, which was Krishna Conscious Nursing Home. Then it was Bhakti Vedanta Hospital, 80,000 square feet, ground plus 5 floors, plus 24 wings, 15 crores in 22 years back. Project was very big. And now today, then we started the Department of Spiritual Care, and then it was small in the beginning department. Medical activity was settling down, and then the spiritual activity expanded. So I practiced till 2003, and then for the sake of developing spiritual care, I stopped active medical practice and I went to full time into spiritual care in medical practice. So it has been a long journey and a very wonderful journey with full of varieties of activity. And even after I gave up active medical practice, I still went to USA and studied palliative medicine, which is called as hospice. That means treatment of terminally ill people, those who are on the verge of death or diagnosed with a disease which is going to cause death in their life. So I specialized in that after even I stopped my general practice, and I am now looking after those people also who are on the verge of death. But from 2003 I was focusing on Department of Spiritual Care in medical hospital, in my our hospital. In the process after 2003, from one hospital, we became now 12 hospitals. Today we are 12 hospitals, and I happen to be trustee of all the 12 hospitals. And I am the deputy director of the hospital. I head the Department of Spiritual Care, Education and Training. And all these spiritual care activities are under my guidance and direction. So, my experience, and you can say realization, or at the end of my active medical career, of course it will not end in one sense, it will continue, but it may be modified, it may be reduced in number of hours or something. But it's been a very wonderful experience, and it was wonderful and it is wonderful only because the angle of spiritual care was added to that. If it was like routine practices of a specialized doctor, maybe medicine, gynecology, orthopedics, general surgery, or gynecology, pediatrics, anybody practicing outside like anybody else, it would be all corruption, cut practices, it would be all cutthroat practice outside, competition, greed, all those would have been there, it would be a normal story. But because we came into Bhakti Vedanta Hospital, we came together as budding devotees from medical colleges, passed out our MBBS, then did post-graduations, variety branches, and we all got initiation in spiritual life, and we formed ourselves Bhakti Vedanta Hospital. It was in the initial stage, as I told you, it was a medical camps in villages with no funds in pocket. Then gradually we opened a small nursing home and did spiritual practice along with medical practice, and that gave us confidence, and then we ventured into a big hospital, and that was a success, so we multiplied it into 12 hospitals. All the journey was wonderful because of being spiritual care being the active forefront of the whole project. So today what I'm going to share with you is ethical practice, ethics in medical practice. Medical practice is to be very noble practice. It is noble practice today also, but it used to be a much, much more ethical, much, much more worshipable and a great experience to be a doctor in the past. I never heard in my childhood that doctors were getting beaten by people. It was never a case. My family doctor was a family member. He, not my relative, but he was such a personality, respectable personality, that he would be there in any weddings and any engagements and any Brahmopadesham and Grah Pravesh and you name any family ceremony, the doctor used to be always there. He would be called to speak some few words, he would address people. In Ganesh Utsava, he would be there. It was like an amazing thing, you know. And I always dreamt that I want to become like him. Always. And I would be also one way very happy when I would fall sick, because I would get to see him, he would touch me, he would examine me, he'll give medicine to me, in 2-3 days I would be alright. And his clinic would be full of people. At least 50 people sitting at one time in queue for 4 hours. Anytime you go, 50 people are waiting for him. And then, I don't know, how would you find time to come for weddings and anything. But he would be always there, and such a gentleman, such a respected fellow. People would just look up to him like anything. Why? Because there was no greed. There was only compassion, only kindness. Expertise was there also at the same time. The skill was there. It was all meant for it was all meant for service to people, basically. So we need to understand the basic fundamentals of the medical practice. Medical practice is in principle not designed to make money. It is not designed to become very rich fast, very fast. Become very influential, very powerful, authoritative, very fast. People generally, even I took medicine because I wanted to become rich, honestly speaking. And everybody wants to become doctor because they know doctor will become rich very fast. He'll have bungalow very fast, he'll have car very fast, he'll become famous very fast. He'll be a different person in society, he'll be a cream of society. So all these things are there. But as we became devotees and we studied scriptures, we came to know that medical profession is simply meant for delivering compassion of the Lord to the suffering souls through a specific set of knowledge and skills. It's a way of life where we get ourselves equipped with a lot of knowledge and skill and go all out to reach out to people who are suffering because of physical ailment. And that means there has to be ethics. You just cannot show compassion with competitive spirit and greedy spirit. You cannot be compassionate. Compassion and greed cannot go together. When we give up greed, then compassion can come up. So the most important thing for all of you at this right time of being a student to know that if at all you have come inside the medicine, maybe in the past because of lack of knowledge, for making money, for becoming famous or for becoming rich, you have to slowly give it up gradually. Because one most important thing to understand, that medical knowledge is given to those people who will use that knowledge to serve suffering souls. In the early days, Vedic times, medical knowledge was given to only Brahminical quality people, those who are Brahmins by birth or by activity, by qualities. Only to them medical knowledge was given, and medical knowledge was given along with all Vedic knowledge. That means commerce would be taught, and administration would be taught to them, the four branches of Vedas will be taught to them, philosophy would be taught to them, Upanishads, Puranas, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everything will be taught to them, along with that commerce, administration, maintenance, everything will be taught to them. Along with that, medical science also will be taught to them. That means 18 kinds of 18 walks of education, 18 branches of education will be taught to that Brahminical person, and as a disciple of a guru, he will learn everything. Along with that, he will learn Ayurveda, the science of life also, to treat sick people, and that would be never for money. He would treat them free of charge, and whatever they have, say somebody grows wheat, somebody grows rice, somebody grows vegetables, so they would barter, they would give some dakshina, and not as per the standard given by doctor, but they will just give out their heart. Somebody will give 5 kilo rice, somebody will give 1 kilo rice, somebody will give 1 kilo vegetable, somebody will not give anything, somebody will give milk or ghee. Like that they would donate to the doctor, and doctor will never think, oh, this guy has given me 5 kilo of ghee, this guy gave me 1/2 kilo of ghee. He will just selflessly serve them. So this is the beginning of medical practice, what it was, what originally it was meant for. Of course now later on the times changed, and the doctor had to also survive and live, he had families, so he started charging. And that's not bad, you can charge, there's no problem about that, because you are not maintained by the king anymore. The king used to maintain the Brahmin used to just take dakshina, and also that would distribute to everybody else after his needs are fulfilled. But there are no more kings to take care of Brahminical people, so they have to maintain themselves, so they charge. But the charge is not based on greed, the charge is based on compassion, just to survive, just to maintain one's family. And it would not increase if patients decrease, it will not decrease if patient will increase, it would remain the same. And that's how so many years passed, and that charging was a legitimate charge, so people would pay happily. They would not feel doctor is so costly, he's so greedy and he's so big, I can't afford him. I never felt my doctor, who was having so many hundreds of patients every day, ever we felt that he was greedy and charging more. Because he was really compassionate and kind and very expert doctor curing our bodies. And then later on, the specialization started coming in medical practice, and then a general doctor would see patient from tip to toe, head to the toe, then it divided surgical and divided medical and then gynecology and then children specialist and surgery divided into ENT and gastroenterology and neurosurgery and orthopedics. At my time, before my time, even orthopedic was branch of general surgery. Then the orthopedic separated from general surgery. Then ENT separated. Then it went on separating. Then super specialization came in. It became so highly super specialized, unbelievably. So then the branch used to be so super specialized. To get a patient in the super specialized branch, you need a referral from a general practitioner. So then the general practitioner felt, oh, I am going to refer patient to him. What I am going to get out of it? Okay, then give me commission. You charge 300 rupees and give me 100 rupees. So the super specialized doctor said, okay, I spent so much money in becoming super specialized. Rather, instead of keeping my clinic empty, I will give 100 rupees and get some patients. So the general practitioner became greedy, and he started taking more and more money. The new doctor comes as a super specialized doctor, the GP would say 75% I will take. The old experienced one, 30% I will take. But I will take. And today there is no GP only, because everybody has become specialized. So everybody is now taking commissions from each other. That means a physician will take from a cardiologist and neurologist, and the orthopedics person will refer to joint specialist, and joint person will give to orthopedic surgeon, and the pediatrics will give to the pediatric surgeon, pediatric oncologist, pediatric this, pediatric that. So everybody is simply referring and taking money, and then pathologists will give to the doctors who refer patients. The diagnostic center with a CT scan, PET scan, MRI will give money to the hospitals and to the physicians and the surgeons who will refer patients. So gradually it became just a bunch of greed, the business of greed. And today, with that kind of situation, even the patients have come to know that there is a commission business going on amongst doctors, and everybody is simply looking for a commission, waiting for the patient to come in and then do this test and that test and admission and this operation and that operation, whether there is need or no need, we just go on doing it, because these are bread and butter. If I don't do 15 tests, how pathology will make money? If I don't do CT scan, X-ray, sonography, how the radiology department will make money? If I don't do blood tests, how the pathology will run? It's like that. If I don't do surgeries, then how will the hospital run? How will the gynecology department run if I don't do cesareans? So then that greed became increased. And then what happened? Normal deliveries were converted into cesareans. A mild infection of appendix was converted into appendicitic surgery. And a premature cataract would be operated as a mature cataract. And patient doesn't need admission, he can stay at home and do it after taking leave, but he was admitted, forced to get admitted by creating fear in him. Then he was forced to get operated for small things also. And then the hospital stay was increased for no reason. Wait for some time, we'll have to do this test, that test, follow up, then you get discharged. So this is how the greed in man percolated in medical practice, and then the whole thing became a business, a commercial venture. It was not a commercial venture before. It was never that we called our patient a customer. But today, as a corporate business has come in medical practice, the patient is now called as customer. And then customer has to be satisfied, customer has to be tempted, attracted to various things, to do this health checkup, to do this checkup, to do that package, this package. So everything has become commercialized. And in turn, what happened? Commercialized. What happened because of commercialization? The respect for doctors and respect for medical industry went on decreasing and decreasing and decreasing. People came to know that doctors are greedy, they take commissions, they make money, they share money with each other on my life, they are waiting for me to fall sick, and they are exploiting me. That feeling gave anger. The bill is very high, unnecessarily. Somebody is charging 1,000 for consultation, somebody is charging 3,000 for consultation, and he is just saying for 2 minutes and 5 minutes and charges 3,000. Next time I come, only he give 2 minutes and then he charges 2,500 follow-up charges. Then again to see my reports, he is charging 1,500 as a consulting. So people came to know, and then the anger resulted into beating up doctors, burning hospitals. One political leader died because of very severe drug addiction and liver problems and everything. But when he died in one hospital in Thane, the political party burnt the hospital, and the hospital is closed till that time. From that time till today also, it never opened, it never started again. They just sold the equipments and everything, and they, because of burning, lot of losses were there, damage was there, and whatever remaining they just sold and emptied the building, and the big hospital in one big city got stopped. So this is how people are venting out the anger. Now, another thing is that when these corruptions entered in medical practice, it did not make doctors happy and satisfied. Please note, when time passed ahead and doctors started doing these cut practices and commission practices, sharing practices, various pathies came into sharing practices, it did not create satisfaction in doctors. The doctors became more greedy, and then they were highly stressed because of so much of business mentality into medical profession. The compassion kept on going ahead, going away, and money kept on coming at center. And whenever money comes in center, it never gives happiness in life, it never gives satisfaction in life. Whoever you are, you may be engineer, doctor, you may be dancer, you may be a film producer, you may be anything. If money comes at the center of your life as a main purpose of life, it steals away all the happiness and satisfaction, and the person becomes diseased with hypertension, diabetes and sleepless nights and so forth. So then these doctors then started having their CMEs, continuous medical education programs, along with liquor, hard liquor and non-vegetarian food and drugs and women. All these things started. The corruption did not remain at practice level. Corruption came right in the heart of their life. You cannot imagine, today the situation has come such that when a super specialist is sending a cut to a junior doctor or to a lesser specialized doctor or a general practitioner, they are sending women also as a perk. They are sending imported liquor also, liquor bottle as their perk, along with money. They are sending them abroad along with prostitutes to enjoy. So all this part is part of a medical profession, behind the curtain. So morning you are operating a very highly specialized case for 8 hours, a spine surgery case, and night you are sleeping with a prostitute sent by the doctor to you, along with the scotch whiskey. So then the question came, whom are we handing our body to? We are submitting our body to a person who is corrupt at heart, with womanizing and gambling and intoxicating himself and eating flesh of the animal, and he's supposed to be in the field of compassion, and I'm supposed to submit my body to him in unconscious state, and then he will, along with my appendix, he will remove my kidney also, and he'll sell my kidney to many people to make lakhs and lakhs of rupees, to create a racket. And big guys who are big names in medicine, they were caught in these scandals of kidneys and many things. Even blood products, blood, everything was like scandalized. So this is what a stage we are today. And it's a right time for all of you to know all these things and change your mindset. Because once you become doctor and you get out, then what is pressurizing you? Because you have spent so many years in studying, number one. You have had sleepless nights and tension to study big books of medicine. And your fathers have spent lakhs of rupees to train you before the admission in the coaching classes. Then some of you could not get good marks and good number in the Indian, All India rank. Then you have to pay donation for a few lakh rupees to get admission. And then you have to do sleepless nights to study big books. And then again for post-graduation, again you have to give lakhs of rupees classes while you are final MBBS, second MBBS. And then you again get admission in PG, and then you study for another 2-3 years, having no sleep almost every single day, because you need to get experience and emergency calls and so many things are there. So by the time a post-graduate doctor comes out, he has already spent minimum 1 crore of rupees altogether, right from 12th standard coaching classes till you go anywhere in India, in the corner of the India, to do your PG, extra expenses, books, studies, and the PG classes, and the PG entrance, and the PG itself, and coming out. And after coming out, you're already 27, 28, 30 years of old. In between, you have not got admission for 1 year, so you had to again give NEET exam. So 1 year lost, then another attempt, another lost, Then after PG also, for PG also you could not get a good branch, so you another 1 year more you give exam, try for a different branch of your choice, and then you have bond of the government, otherwise you have to pay lakhs of rupees for breaking the bond, so you can't do that, so you do the bond in some God-forsaken place in some village, and you really miss your family, already you missed your family for so many years, and now you are missing your family because you are doing your bond with government. So by the time you come out to take a fresh breath as a specialized doctor, you are 30-year-old, and then you are wondering when to get married, when to start practice, when to settle my practice, when to buy a house, when to buy a vehicle. All dreams are so much delayed. So you are desperate because you are alone. Your father has taken loan on you. You have spent so much money on your profession. So you have no time. You are already delayed in your life. So you want to make money very fast. So you get pulled into all this racket of corruption. And they lose your all ethics. You lose. You kill your mind. You kill your compassion. And then become a miserable person because you want to be on top of the world, fastest possible. You want to get the most beautiful girl on the earth because you think you are a special man, a doctor, postgraduate. So you want the most beautiful woman as your wife, and you want her to be qualified also, highly qualified, and she also is doctor maybe or highly professionally qualified. Then you day and night slog and don't meet each other. And then your children are somewhere else, you are somewhere else. And that's how the life goes on. And at the age of 50, you think, oh, I made good money and I had a beautiful wife. I didn't have time to enjoy with her. And I'm not happy because everything is corrupt. Everything is corruption. All money is earned by corruption. I don't remember anybody. This is what the person thinks. Oh, when did I treat a patient free of charge? When did I help a poor person with free treatment? I only worked for money. I only exploited people. I lost all the kindness from my heart and eyes and only saw money, money and money, otherwise get lost. So at the end of your life, you have achieved money and house and vehicle and everything, property and savings, but you have sold all your happiness and satisfaction in the process. All that you are supposed to have, satisfaction, happiness, compassion, kindness, love, relationships, family life, everything you have sacrificed just to become a successful, well-known, famous doctor. That's why all of you should know that the medical science is progressing every single day, progressing and progressing and progressing, but nobody in the highly specialized progressive medical branch is teaching any student of medical science how to be kind, how to be compassionate, how to be ethical, how to be straightforward, how to be genuine, how to be a nice gentleman. Nobody is teaching. No medical college has a chapter or a textbook about ethics of medical practice. They speak about it in a very general sense, in a very superficial sense, but everybody is knowing who cares for this topic of ethics. So, to start with, I will tell you first thing to all of you, that money will come to you in your life as per your karma. Money will not come because you are a super specialized doctor. Money will not come more because you are highly skilled and, you know, very highly specialized. We know people who are not even 10th pass. They sit at home and make some phone calls 2 hours a day, and they make millions of rupees. We feel sometimes ashamed at being a doctor. I spent so many years logging, studying so many big books, and this guy is 10th fail, eating tobacco, mouthful of tobacco and pan, and smoking cigarette, and making millions just by 2 hours phone call. You know. So from where the money comes? Money comes from our karma. And I know so many doctors who are highly, they were gold medalists and they were intelligent people, they were toppers in the college in medicine and post-graduation, and they are flopped medical practice afterwards. And their juniors who were multiple attempt post-graduates, you know, attempted six times five times, three times pass on their MD, MS. They are roaring practitioners outside. Roaring practitioners. And this gold medalist is sitting idle there. So, money will come to you. The fact that you have become medical admission, you have got in medical medicine, money will come. For your kind information, in 2003, when I was 40 year old, I stopped my medical practice and I full time dedicated for spiritual care in medicine. That means my lucrative medical profession, which would fetch me a lot of money, I stopped that. And last 17 years, from 40 to 57, I am not making money from medical practice. I am taking a salary and I am doing only spiritual care work in all the hospitals. And I don't think that I am missing anything in my life. I have missed money or missed any pleasures or missed any comforts. I am having a decent salary. I may not have earned millions of rupees as I could have earned, but I am living a very decent life. I wear good clothes, I eat good food, I have a house, and I am very happy and satisfied. That means whatever money was written over here on my forehead, as per my karma, is coming to me. Even if I would have practiced day and night, 12 hours a day, the same thing would come because that is my destiny. That all of you should know. By exploiting others, by looting others, by taking commissions, by doing corruption, don't think you will get more money than what you deserve. You will get the same money. But in the process, the same money will come through corruption, then you are adding some more bad karma in your life. You will not get more money. See, समय से पहले और भाग्य से ज़्यादा कभी किसी को नहीं मिलता. What does that mean? You will not get money before time. You will not get money after time. You will get money at right time. Whenever money has to come, it will come. And you will not get more than what you deserve. And you will not get less also than what you deserve. You will get exactly what you deserve at right time and opportune time. You cannot prepone it, cannot postpone it, cannot increase it, cannot decrease it. Even if you are a highly specialized neurosurgeon, you will get what you deserve. You will not get more than your colleague. Because otherwise, your juniors who are not so specialized are millionaires and you are highly specialized, but you are much lesser in income than the junior. It's all because of karma. Some of you may be having father, having a nursing home, and a roaring practice, you have to just go and sit on the cushion and start earning. And some of you may have to take loans to buy a house and buy a place and rent the place for clinic and rent the place for equipment and everything. So it's all karma basically. So have faith in that. Have faith in karma that I will get only what I deserve. I will not get more because I exploit or I cheat or I manipulate. First principle. Have faith in God and have faith in the fact that I will get what I deserve. I will not be hungry. I will not starve just because I am honest and compassionate and kind doctor. I will get what I deserve, number one. And number two, the rule of karma is very complicated. And no one is spared from the rule of karma. No one is spared in this life from the rule of karma. If you cheat, you get reaction. If you exploit, you get reaction. If you are cruel, you get reaction. If you are kind, you get reaction. If you are compassionate, you get good reaction. You treat people genuinely, without greed, you get also reaction. Everything is rewarded equally, whatever you do, in the normal process of life. So that's why Learn to be a gentleman. What's happening now, you know. As soon as you get into medicine and you start progressing in medicine, the greed has entered in the medical school also. Everybody, students now know which branch is earning how much money outside. If you become a radiologist, how much you make money. Today, if you are an orthopedic surgeon, how much you make money. If you are a physician, how much you make. Everybody knows in the undergraduate days. In my time, I did not even know, after I passed out MBBS, which branch is fetching so much money. But that knowledge of greed is already percolating the undergraduate also. So a student is already preparing ki mujhe na neurosurgeon banna hai, because neurosurgeon makes so much money. I know radio is the top branch, I will go into radiology and I will make money into this much. From beginning I'll get this much salary in any hospital I join. So have faith that I am going to be ethical and I am going to be out to help people. Money will come. So what ethics I will follow? My patient is coming to me with faith that I will cure him. It's a big thing. It's a very, very big thing to submit your body to somebody else. When I say, doctor, do whatever you like. So you are saying, give any medicine, any injection, do any operation, I am yours. I am handing over myself to you with full faith. That is a very big thing. You may give capsules, you may give injection, you may cut his body and take out an organ inside. Everything is allowed for you. So respond to that faith in a very positive, in a very favorable manner, very kind manner. Live up to his faith. He has come to you, my doctor will give me right treatment at right cost. That faith he has kept in you. So, number one, don't do any unnecessarily investigation when it's not required. Don't do any extra test than required, than scientifically required and essentially required. Don't prescribe any medicines which are not required. Just because the pharmaceutical companies are pushing you, doctor, please prescribe my medicine, I'll send you to Singapore. Doctor, prescribe my medicine, I'll give you 30%. I'll give you a refrigerator, I'll give you an air conditioner, I'll give you a vehicle. I'll send a packet to you at home. So you are pushed by the pharmaceuticals to add multivitamins and vitamin C and this and that, adjuvant therapies for no reason. So don't prescribe any extra medicine than required. Don't give double antibiotic because you are not diagnosed it properly. A fever is there, so you give malaria treatment also, you give typhoid all treatment also, you try all cocktails so that anything, something will work. There is no scientific basis behind. You have not proved it in a slide, in the MP test. You have not proved by Vidal test. You have not done anything. The results are not yet come. Patient is impatient. So you are just giving him Cifran, you are giving him chloroquine, you are giving him everything. So that, jo hoga wo, theek ho jayega. That means one medicine is required, but three are being given because you are not sure, and two medicines are waste. And one medicine is curing him, and he feels doctor is so nice. He in one day the fever went away. But in the process, what has happened? You have not treated him scientifically in the most ethical way. You can tell him, wait for one day, let the result come, I'll treat you. Till that time you take this medicine. But no, neither he is waiting nor you are waiting, because both of them are very eager to, he wants to eagerly get well, tomorrow he wants to go to office and you want to make your money. So, dono haath milate hain aur kaam chalta hai. So, don't do any unrequired test. Don't prescribe any medicines which are not required. Don't admit the patient if it is not required. If you can manage the patient at home with sick leave, let him be at home. If at all you feel he needs admission, don't keep him any one more day than required. You know exactly when to discharge him, but you feel ki are yaar rahega to bed charge dega, sab kuch dega, medicine ka charge dega, he will pay everything na. Why should I hurry up to, wo bolta hai doctor sahab agar theek rahunga to jata hu ghar pe, otherwise you keep me whenever you want. So he said stay for 2 more days. And then if the patient is in ICU, there's a time to discharge him to ICU, to general ward. So what you do, you extend his stay in ICU, because ICU is a big money earner. Large amount of money is paid in ICU per day because of various things happening over there. So you continue for 2 more days in ICU only. Don't shift him to the ward. That's not good also. That means in every step that you do, there has to be ethical understanding. Okay, I am not here to cheat the patient or exploit the patient. I am here to treat him as if he is my father, my mother, my friend, my relative, my neighbor. How will I treat him when he is my mother? or how will I like my mother to be treated by doctor, other doctor? I will like to give her only the treatment which is necessary. I will like her to only do the tests which are necessary. I will like her to take medicine only which are necessary. I will not like to keep her in the hospital one day extra. All this is ideal for you when your mother comes there. But when somebody else comes there, all this is finished. Nothing works. That's why there is a fear in the mind of patients today. But they don't know doctor kya karega abhi. Because I have a car and my car stops on the road, suppose, in the middle of the road in the rainy season. And then I have to call an emergency mechanic and he says, saab piston badli karna padega, saab tire badli karna padega, saab axle badli karna padega, saab ye badli karna padega, wo meter kharab ho gaya hai. Main kya malum mujhe kya bol rahe ho. Whatever I say, he said, change karna padega. And I'm in the fix in the rain on the road. And he is exploiting me because he knows ki saab difficulty mein hai abhi. Whatever I say, I don't understand anything. वो जो भी है करो तो आपको 5,000 का बिल लगा देगा वो और गाड़ी चालू करके देगा. और किया क्या है, एक नट बोल्ट टाइट करने का था बस खत्म. बट ही हैज मेड यू चेंज सो मेनी आइटम्स बिकॉज यू डोंट नो एनीथिंग. यू आर अ नाइव पर्सन इन दैट एंड ही सीज यू आर अ रिच मैन. एंड व्हाई दिस हैपेंस, बिकॉज यू हैव डन दैट सेम थिंग इन यूर प्रोफेशन. सो वेन यू बिकम हेल्पलेस, समबडी डज दैट सेम थिंग विथ यू. एक्शन एंड रिएक्शन, वेरी सिंपल. You have cheated somebody in your profession because people are naive in your profession. They don't know doctor kya bol raha hai, gallbladder kharab hai, kidney kharab hai, liver kharab hai, ki what is happening, what tests are wrong. He doesn't know anything. Wo bolega, doctor please do whatever you feel, I am sold out to you. So you will be very happy, you will do all the tests which are not required. So when you cheat your patients, then when you go to mechanic, he will cheat you. When you buy a flat, the owner will cheat you, the builder will cheat you, and when you buy something else, they will cheat you. Everywhere you will get cheated. Why? Because your money is earned out of corruption. It will go only in corruption only. Jahan se aaya hai, wahi chala jayega. What you deserve will remain with you. What is illegitimate will go away from you. It will come to you and it will go by next hand out of the house. And then I have seen these corrupted doctors, when they raise their family, then the son becomes addict, the girl runs away with some stupid boy, and the boy starts drinking alcohol in college days, and he doesn't study only, and he fails in exam, then he has to put so much bribe into medical college to dalne ke liye, because all that corrupted money which he has earned na, in the past, all goes this way only. Because he is desperate to get his child in medicine. तो फिर 10 लाख 20 लाख डोनेशन देगा वो. वो कहाँ से आया, वो लोगों का जेब काट के आया था ना, वो गया उधर अभी. सो वॉट वी शुड नो दैट वेन यू अर्न इन अ लेजिटिमेट वे, दैट मनी विल स्टे विथ यू, दैट मनी विल गिव हैप्पीनेस टू यू, बिकॉज यू हैव नेवर चीटेड एनीबडी. सो आई वॉज टेलिंग यू, नो एडमिशन. आफ्टर एडमिशन डू नॉट ऑपरेट देम, इट इज नॉट रिक्वायर्ड. इफ यू कैन मैनेज कंजर्वेटिवली, मैनेज कंजर्वेटिवली. हाउ वुड यू ऑलवेज कीप इन माइंड that the patient is my father and mother, and if my real father would be there, what would I do? That same thing I will do with that patient. If you treat every single person with this mood, ki he is my relative, he is my friend, he is my mother, father, he is my brother, sister, then you don't have to be told what is to be done, what is not to be done. Aur jitna zaruri hai utna hi karega. So don't operate if it is not required. Don't keep in the hospital more than required. Don't prescribe any medicines more than required. Itna aap karoge na, your life will be filled with happiness. And then, whenever a needy person comes, a genuinely needy person comes, give him pre-treatment. It may appear as a loss. I did service, I didn't get money. But God is watching you. And your compassionate activity, the Lord is watching you. And the Lord will reward you abundantly in future. That faith we must have, na, ultimately. Ki somebody is watching me. When I do corruption, when I cheat, when I exploit, when I manipulate, somebody is watching me. Dharmaraj was given a fruit along with all the Kauravas and Pandavas. And everybody was told, go and eat when nobody is watching you. So somebody went behind the tree, somebody went in the cave, somebody went behind the mountain, somebody went somewhere in the garage. And everybody ate the fruit and came back, and Dharmaraj Yudhishthir came back with the fruit back. So Dronacharya asked him, how you came back? Everybody said, I ate here, I ate there, I ate here, I ate there. And Dharmaraj was asked, why you didn't eat? He said, I did not find in the whole world a single place where God is not watching me. That's why I came back, because God is watching me. You told nobody should watch me and there you should go and eat the fruit. And I didn't find any place in the world where God is not watching me. So similarly, what the lesson to learn from this story is, God is watching you. Whatever you do, even nobody may be physically watching you, but God is always watching you. Even today also, whatever you are doing, your parents may not know, your friend may not know, but God is watching you, what you are doing in your student life. And accordingly, your future will be according to your karma. So karma is very powerful. When you purify your karma, your future is bright. When your karma is corrupt, your future is very dull, hopeless and doomed. So have faith in this science. This is spiritual science. And spiritual science is an essential aspect of human life. If you just become qualified, if you just become famous, if you just become influential, just become very powerful, rich, that doesn't make you a good human being. That doesn't make you feel or others feel that you are grown up. The growth is not only in money, fame and influence. The growth is in internal growth. What qualities are grown in you? You have a powerful weapon of medical science. You have a very powerful weapon. Life, you are dealing with life with this science of medicine. And when you are using it to exploitation, then result is different. When this most powerful, fortunate privilege of being a doctor is used to help people who are suffering, the result will be different. So I feel very proud that I was a doctor. I have a skill, I have knowledge, I have authority to deal with life and make the life happy, make that life free of pain, make that life free of disease. I have that privilege. Why should I just misuse that privilege to exploit them? Why should I add in their pain? I'm supposed to relieve their pain. Please, I beg all of you that all of you are very fortunate. You will be given and you are being given the most powerful knowledge of helping people to get out of their pain and get out of their disease. When you become an engineer, maybe a mechanical engineer, electrical engineer, you are dealing with material. You are dealing with steel, wood, iron, and so aircrafts and so many things. They are not living beings. There is not life there. But medical profession only deals with life. Tell me yes or no. Only deals with life. Only with human beings. And that too, nobody comes to you to enjoy picnic at the weekend. Nobody says, Papa, Saturday, Sunday ko Bhakti Vidhan Hospital jayenge kya? Wahan ek room book karenge, wahan canteen mein dosa khayenge. Nobody says that. Everybody comes in a dire need in the hospital or to the doctor. Not willingly. By force, by inevitable situation, majboori se aate wo. That means they come to you when the life is in pain, expecting that this doctor, this hospital will relieve me of this pain. I am ready to pay the money. But I hope and pray that they will relieve me of my pain. But today when they get sick, they get scared. They feel I am ready to pay money, but I am not sure whether I will get right treatment or whether I will be getting exploited. That is today's situation. And who has created that situation? The medical doctors and the medical fraternity and medical institution. And we need to change that. You may feel, array, if I change alone, what will happen to the whole world? No. You change for yourself. You be strong. You be ethical. You be powerful within yourself. You be cultured. You be genuine. What is wrong in that? We did that. 5 of us only came together. We were not 50 of us. Only 5 of us, young students, just passed out MBBS. We came together and we decided we will do ethical and spiritual practice. And today we have 60 devotees, doctors, highly specialized, who have joined us. And total we are 200 doctors. who may not be Hare Krishna devotees, but 65 of them are devotees chanting 16 rounds and initiated and highly specialized plastic surgeon, cardiovascular surgeon, you know, neurologist, neurosurgeon, pediatrician. In dentistry, we have postgraduates, devotees. Why? Because we came together and decided with determination that we will live for ethical practice, will not cheat people. Rather, while being ethical, we will give them Krishna also. We will teach them free of charge, science of Krishna consciousness. We will give them spiritual care free of charge. We will not charge them about, because Krishna never charged us when he gave Bhagavad Gita to us. He gave Gita to us free of charge. He gave Harinam to us free of charge. He gave Sadhu Sangha free of charge. We ate prasadam in temple free of charge in the student time. So when Krishna gave us himself, he didn't charge. So when we'll take money from patients for treatment, but when we will give Krishna or solve knowledge of Krishna, we will not charge them. And this is prevailing for last 35 years, my dear friends. And none of us are poor. None of us are like stupid people in the society. We are all respected people. We have got good practice. We have got roading hospital. We have got all house and everything what we need in a very respectable way. We spent difficult times earlier, but now things are all settled, nice. We have got the fruit of our hard labor and sincerity and determination and being spiritual and being ethical. So good things always take time to develop. But they last long in life. And bad things can settle down very fast. But they don't give you long-lasting satisfaction. Even if money is there, even if everything is there what you want, you achieved it, but you will not get happiness. And finally, at the end of the day, you need to be happy, you need to be satisfied. Whether you are a doctor, or you are a watchman in the building, or whether you are a dukandar, or a businessman, a smaller scale, big scale, finally, you need to face yourself as a happy person. When you stand in the front of mirror, you should stand with pride in the mirror. That I have not cheated anybody. I am very happy. Whoever came to me, I served them genuinely. I charged them legitimately. Never one paisa extra. I never cheated them. In fact, some of them were poor. I didn't charge them only. And God, I know you are watching me. I am very grateful to you for giving this profession to me. I know you are looking after me, maintaining me. Why I have to worry? Why I have to cut the pockets of my poor patients to fulfill my ambitions? I know you are there. You will reward me for my genuine service, for my compassion, for my kindness, for my spiritual care, for my preaching, for my giving Krishna to the patients, for giving you to the patient, my Lord. You will pay me. You will maintain me. What if I have not become a millionaire? It's all right. My life is in your hands, my Lord. I am here to serve you. I am here to serve your children who are sick. With the knowledge you have given me, I want to serve. Use it to serve them. Why you have to run on a horse? No, not necessary. So, become a doctor to please the Lord. Become a doctor to be honest. To be able to face yourself in the mirror. That I never cheated anybody. So with these few words, I will end my talk and I'll invite, if any questions are there, I'll be happy to answer. You can make a gallery view now. Yeah, okay, gallery view I made myself. So if anybody has any question, please ask. Yes, Shyam.
Bad money
will come immediately, but pure money will take little time, but it will come for long time in a very exponentially growing condition. And I'm not saying that if you are honest, you will not make money, एंड यू विल बी पुअर फॉर लॉन्ग टाइम एंड योर कलीग्स विल गो अहेड एंड यू विल जस्ट स्टे इन वन रूम वन बेडरूम फ्लैट. ऐसा नहीं है. हाँ ऐसा नहीं है. एज अ डॉक्टर यू विल मेक मनी, डोंट वरी अबाउट दैट. आई एम गिविंग कॉन्फिडेंस टू यू. आई एम नॉट अ स्पेशलाइज डॉक्टर ऑल्सो. आई डिड स्पेशलाइजेशन इन पैलिएटिव केयर फ्रॉम USA, बट आई नेवर मेड एनी मनी ऑन दैट ब्रांच एट ऑल. दैट ब्रांच आई एम सर्विंग फ्री ऑफ चार्ज ओनली. आई ओनली गेट अ फिक्स सैलरी. सो आई नेवर स्पेशलाइज टू मेक मोर मनी, बट आई नेवर वॉज डिप्राइव्ड ऑफ एनी हैप्पीनेस इन लाइफ. I go to yatras, I go, I went abroad, I came into India, I studied here, I see patients, I go to Vrindavan, I do everything in life, what I love to do. So I never felt that I don't have any money to do what I want to do. Aisa nahi hai. I always got what I needed. Now, what I need and what I want is a big question, na, ultimately. There can be a big gap between what I want and what I have. I want to have 5 bungalows in 5 cities in India. That is my want. But I need only one place to stay. So if I am happy with what I need and what I have, then I am happy. But if I am greedy, then even if I get 5 bungalows, I will not be happy. I feel my friend has got 5 farms plus 5 bungalows. So you will compete with that. And how will you compete with that? By exploiting your patience. That's the only source you have got. Aisa hai wo. So be sure, as doctors, you will be never a poor man. Never. You will be always little higher than the common society. Okay?
Sir?
Yes.
Sir, how to cope up with all these greedy people? Actually, they are all around us and they are more powerful than us. They have more power in government and all those sectors. Then how could we cope up with these people?
Step number one, you first decide that you want to be ethical. You will not get swayed with them. That first you decide that. If you are not strong and determined, then the people are very powerful, they will take you with them. They will just drag you with them. So first and foremost, get this knowledge and learn to be ethical, number one. Number two, find like-minded people amongst you who are becoming devotees now, who are chanting Hare Krishna now. Gather some friends of yours and make a union and start a joint venture. Then you don't have to depend on others. What we did, we were 5 people. Medicine, surgery, orthopedics, gynec and pediatrics. 5 main branches, we were together. We didn't need any referrals. We didn't pay anybody any commission. We were self-dependent. And we were small, not very big. But gradually we grew. But we were not under the pressure or influence of outsiders who are exploitative. We didn't have to submit to them. But if I'm alone, I have to survive, na? So then I have to succumb to their pressures. अरे वो आके बोलते हैं जीपी को पैसा लेना ही पड़ेगा आपको, आपने रेफर किया तो आपको लेना ही पड़ेगा. So you can't be refusing to take also and you can't refuse to give also. That's the system outside. So that's why first and foremost convince yourself कि मुझे ये नहीं करना है. Second, when you have a good thought, you always get good company. Make that good company like we did. We gathered fellows together. We stayed together. We worked together. We went through thick and thin, troublesome times. But we never were under the influence of outside world. While they were trying to penetrate and trying to exploit us, but we were not available for them. For their protocols, for their commission business, for their corruption, we were not party to that. They could not make us party to that. So first make up your mind. First take the first step. Don't talk about the giants outside who are going to exploit you. First you determine. See the sparrow whose eggs were stolen by the ocean. Right? What is the sparrow in front of ocean, yaar? Nothing. The ocean was laughing at her. And she said, I will empty you. And the ocean was laughing and laughing and laughing. And actually she started emptying the ocean also. How much? A big full water, go and empty. Big full water, go and empty. And ocean was laughing and laughing and laughing. But when she was acting this way with full determination, ki I will empty the ocean, Garuda got attracted. And the Garuda came and told what happened. She said, my eggs are being stolen by the ocean and he's not giving my eggs back. That's why I'm trying to empty the ocean. So Garuda said, ocean, give the eggs back, otherwise I'll empty you. And ocean knew that Garuda can empty me. Immediately the ocean gave back the eggs. So what does the story tell you? The story tells you, first you will be determined in what you want to do. Then the world will fall at your feet. You will attract higher powers. So when we were small babies, you know, small boys, MBBS, we were like you know, babies in the whole corrupt market. But God was with us. Guru was with us. His ethics were with us. His principles were with us. And that's why today at this 35 years later, we are so proud that we didn't succumb. We said no to them. And today we are where we are. We have not given any single rupee in commission to anybody in last 35 years. An hospital is very big hospital. You should come and see our hospital. You should see the history from where we went to which place today. Why? Because as small boys like you, we were determined to follow Krishna conscious principles in life and in medical practice. We were determined. We had association like that. And we kept the association and kept on with the determination. And that is why today where we are. That's all. If you would have fizzled out, hey, kaise karenge, pata nahi kaise karenge, then today I would be somewhere in GP, somewhere somebody else would be sitting somewhere, taking commission, giving commissions, unhappy, frustrated. And what we couldn't have done alone, so many things happened together because we were together. We couldn't have built the hospital. But looking at our work, 26 generous people came together and built the hospital for us. And we practiced over there. The same thing can happen to you also. You have to have faith. And more than faith, the determination that mujhe aisa nahi banna hai. More than mujhe kya banna hai, mujhe aisa nahi banna hai. Pehla yeh nischay kar lo. Ki I don't want to be a corrupt man. I want to be an ethical man. I want to serve. And I have faith in God that God will give me enough. And God will give you enough. Aap bolo, Bhagwan jo hai na, wo, ek minute, Shyam Prakash, aapka mute karo. God will give, let us ask question to ourselves. God will give money to corrupt people or to genuine people if he has choice to give. He will give genuine people only. Whom God will support, who are genuine or who are corrupt, tell me. So when I am becoming genuine, I am going on God's side. So isn't it God's responsibility to maintain me and give me what I need in life? Or God will make you frustrated, God will make you bankrupt, God will make you completely not even have clothes and food also, to make you think, where is the God? I am working for him, he's not even giving me food also. He'll not do that. If you are on his path of sincerity and genuine practice, he will support you. He will support you. It is the pleasure of the Lord to look after nice people like you. So don't worry about the corruption. You may be a small sparrow, doesn't matter. Be determined. The Garuda, the mercy of Garuda will come to you to help you, to support you, and to fulfill your mission. It was some difficult time sparrow had when she was trying to empty and the ocean was laughing at her. No doubt, there was a difficult time. But the difficult time, she maintained her determination. At the end of that time, Garuda came, threatened ocean. Ocean gave the eggs back. She was successful in her mission.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yes, any other question?
Thank you so much, sir.
So I think we will end. I have another lecture at 8 o'clock. I need to go home and get fresh. So I am very grateful to you. And what my request to you is that I have got many more topics to discuss with you. I can teach you many medical topics also. I can teach you many spiritual topics also concerned with medical practice. So if we meet regularly, then we can have a progressive discussion.